This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, this is 60 Minutes of Nonstop Talk with Rich Zeoli.
The impeachment hearing coming to a television near you tomorrow. Will you watch is my question. The networks are betting on the fact that you will. So will you tune in? Bernie Sanders and AOC hit the road. And now, of course, socialism is young and hip, even though Bernie is old and not. 855-839-1210. Welcome to the show. An hour of nonstop talk, unprecedented in Philadelphia Morning Drive Radio. Right here, kids, for the next hour. Grateful that you are here on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. So, you know, the big question, of course, as I laid out for you earlier with Senator John Kennedy's question of the motivation behind the president asking the question, that's really one of those things that is kind of very difficult to prove, right? What somebody's motivation for doing something is. And CBS News is particularly worried about this. They're very worried that the Democrats could lose impeachment with such limited evidence. They're a little bit nervous, so they're trying to warn the Democrats here. The quote-unquote journalists at CBS News, including they have a footage playing of Walter Cronkite in 1974, discussing, of course, now Richard Nixon. So Major Garrett and Jonathan Turley warning Democrats they could lose this one. Take a listen.
The greatest difference is that there has been very little evidentiary work that has been done. You know, the Democrats are going from 0 to 60 in about 100 feet.
Turley also said the range of Ukraine-linked misdeeds against Mr. Trump appears smaller than the allegations that doomed Nixon.
It appears they're going to go forward largely on this phone call and the Ukrainian controversy. If they do that, it'll be the narrowest impeachment in history, and they'll have one of the most limited evidentiary records in history.
Major, there are some intriguing similarities and differences between these two inquiries, but if history doesn't repeat itself, at least it rhymes. What are the political implications for the Democrats as they push along with this inquiry at this rate and at this time?
Speed matters, and if you move too quickly and the public cannot catch up with the facts you're presenting, you lose, or you lose in terms of public opinion being moved by the evidence you present the public. Also, Democrats have a high standard to meet here. Impeachment is not, I dislike the president. It means the president has done something or will continue to do something that's a threat to the administration of the office as we understand it. That's a high bar. The evidence has to be presented. The public has to see it and evaluate it before you can move. Democrats at this pace seem to be moving that process much more rapidly than at least previous impeachments have.
You know, if there's no evidence, it's going to be really tough for them. It's going to be really tough. And I'm just pointing that out because the media is trying to warn them of that fact. You know, like, hey, if you don't have the evidence, I'm just saying. Now, obviously, they may not have the evidence. Obviously, that's maybe one of those things that it's just, you know, it's just not there. And then, of course, you got to wonder this whole quid pro quo thing. Gravian put a little montage together yesterday. I didn't get a chance to play it, but of Democrats who arguing and using quid pro quos to advance their political agenda. Now, they're Democrats, though, so it's not a big deal. And certainly you don't have to question their motivation for it. Cut six.
And my solution is to say to Israel, is you got $3.8 billion every single year. All right? If you want military aid, you're going to have to fundamentally change your relationship to the people of Gaza.
And so this is not just rejoining the Paris Climate Accords, which I will do right away. It's actually using every lever of foreign policy we have for more foreign aid to countries, making a contingent on climate action.
You would not necessarily want to leverage U.S. aid to Israel to push him to do that, is what you're saying.
Well, you know, that would not be my first move. I'm not saying that would never happen.
We need to make sure that any such cooperation and funding is going to things that are compatible with U.S. objectives and with U.S. law.
We spend a few billion dollars on aid to Israel. Would you ever consider using that aid as leverage to get the Israeli government to act differently?
Absolutely.
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 Yeah. Question about Israel. Will you make American aid conditional on a freeze to settlement building?
It is the official policy of the United States of America to support a two-state solution. And if Israel is moving in the opposite direction, then everything is on the table.
And you would be prepared to...
Everything is on the table.
I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion.
I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired.
Right before Joe Biden, that was MOTUS who was speaking?
Yes.
Mother-in-law of the United States.
You have to isolate that audio for Thanksgiving. Everything's on the table.
Yeah, that's right. Everything's on the table. No, literally, everything's on the table and it's getting cold. Please come to the table. The yams, my candy yams. This is my mother's recipe. Not the fake Indian one, the real one.
Everything's on the table.
No, everything. Please turn the TV off and put down your beer.
Everything's on the table.
And it's getting cold. MOTUS, mother-in-law of the United States. I would love to hear the Secret Service nicknames for that, don't you?
Yes. Yes.
Nagger is moving.
Nagger.
Might be a little bit sensitive. There might be the word is a little bit. It could be easily misheard, so you got to be careful with that. So you got to find another. You know. Yeah. Let's see here. Speaking of Thanksgiving, did you know that Thanksgiving is a terrible, terrible holiday?
What?
Oh yeah, it's terrible.
I love Thanksgiving.
Well, that's because you're not woke. MSNBC's Joy Reid dismissing Thanksgiving as problematic. And of course, she's going to take some shots at Trump supporters. So get ready for condescending names.
We are just over 2 weeks away from one of the most beloved American food holidays, Thanksgiving, where problematic actual history meets delicious cuisine. And many of you will soon be heading home to spend time with family and friends, eat a little too much, and perhaps engage in a dreaded contentious political debate with your cranky Uncle Roscoe when he starts yelling, "Read the transcript!" at the dinner table between bites of turkey.
Oh, I get it. I get it. Because we all have uncles named Roscoe. Because we're all a bunch of hillbillies, right? Uncle Roscoe, come on out of the outhouse.
Wasn't that Dukes of Hazzard?
Yes, it was.
I believe it was, right. That's her in her mind. That's Trump supporters right
oh my
there.
Goodness.
Uncle Roscoe, don't worry about washing your hands. Food's getting cold. Come on. Come on.
Roscoe P. Coltrane.
That's right. Yeah. Make sure you empty the outhouse this time. I'm not going out there later. Come on. I got our MAGA hats ready for the turkey. Going to MAGA this turkey up. Uncle Roscoe? That's what she thinks about Trump okay. supporters. That's in her mind. That's all she knows is she saw a clip of Dukes of Hazzard once, and that's, you know, that's all of us. Go ahead.
But fear not. We here at AM Joy are going to help you get through it all by telling you everything you need to understand about impeachment so that you can easily explain to Uncle Roscoe and Auntie Carol before you all settle into...
Auntie Carol, are you pregnant again? Ma, what does this make now? 8?
Well, you know.
You're like one of them octogarian moms, or what do they call them? Octopus moms. 8. Man, Uncle Roscoe, you got sperm like I've never seen before.
It's oh, my goodness.
Give me another of them Milwaukee's Best, will you? I like my beer American like I like my president American. Cut that turkey. Who's cutting that turkey? Damn, Junior, did you get one of them tofu turkeys again? You freaking vegans. Roncle Roscoe and Auntie Carol. I love the caricature of MSNBC. It's a yes. caricature. That's fine. That's totally okay for them to do, I guess. It's totally acceptable, I guess.
So that you can easily explain to Uncle Roscoe and Auntie Carol before you all settle in to yell at each other about football. But here's a hint. Do not worry.
Yell at each other about football?
Gosh.
Yell at each other about football? Hey, that's only if our games are on with competing games. But we all live together since we all is related. Why would we be against each other in football? We all is on the same team. There is our team. Why would we be against each other? I don't understand this woman's point. My sister, my wife, and I both support the same team because she is both my wife and my sister.
Stop.
How dare you?
Thought you got a little tongue-tied there.
Oh,
got a little tongue-tied right there with Uncle Roscoe and Aunt Carol. It always happens that way. You know, it always happens that way.
Auntie Carol.
Right, Auntie Carol.
Not patronizing enough to call her aunt.
Right, auntie. Auntie.
Yeah.
Who wants some sweet tea? I done spiked it again. Stop. Oh, Roscoe Jr., you're just like Roscoe Sr.
Roscoe Jr., Roscoe Jr., Jr.
My kids, Roscoe, and Roscoe. My other kid, Roscoe.
Oh God.
Is that the end of that nonsense?
The cast of characters, or the very overused term quid pro quo. Most people can't say it, spell it, or understand it.
I don't understand this quid pro quasi moto. Pass the mashed potatoes, will you? I don't understand what she quid pro quo, huh? I got your quid pro quo right here under my gravy beans.
No, it's not.
That's what I know. How do you even spell quid pro quo with a what? A K-U-I-P-D? G? Yeah, this is the deplorables, right? She's doing essentially now, she's proving that she still thinks of every Trump supporter as nothing more than a deplorable,
yes.
Right? This is the woman who was blogging about how much she hates gay people. And then I got to keep her job on MSNBC. Remember, that was the one where she was physically sick when she saw two men kissing?
Well, she says she doesn't identify with that person or
right.
something like that.
Right. First, so it was that somebody hacked into her account,
into her
and
account.
That lie didn't work. Yes. Then she said she did write those things, but she doesn't identify with the person who wrote those things.
Any longer.
But this is how they view you. You're just a deplorable who can't spell quid pro quasi now.
Quid pro quo. Most people can't say it, spell it, or understand it.
Not only if they're as smart as you now, Joy, you said it perfectly. Would you come to my house and say it? One thing, though, I got to tell you is I think my brother might be one of them gays.
No, it's not. It's not.
I don't know if you want to be around him. He might be one of them homosexuals now that you don't like.
That's Uncle Roscoe. That's
Uncle Roscoe might go both ways, Joy, so I don't want to make you physically sick on your Thanksgiving dinner.
It's not
but
view.
I'm just saying.
It's not the view of Riccioli.
That's not the view. It's the view of Uncle Roscoe's son mocking Joy Behar for being a homophobe.
Most people can't say it, spell it, or understand it. What we're actually talking about here is not a pithy Latin phrase. It's something a lot simpler.
Pithy.
Bribery and extortion.
Extortion.
That's it. This is a case of presidential level bribery and extortion. And beyond the whistleblower and over 100 hours of testimony backing up that fact, Donald Trump admitted to it and even released edited notes from his call with the Ukrainian president, which, by the way, is not a transcript, that actually prove he did it. Even Uncle Roscoe and Auntie Carol ought to understand.
What? I fell asleep. But What did I do? Kid's not mine. Not my kid. Uncle Roscoe, calm down.
Even Uncle Roscoe and Auntie Carol.
What? Not mine. It's not mine. I swear. Not mine. This is just amazing. It's amazing to me that they're allowed to get away with this. Just totally mocking and insulting. It's just amazing.
Even Uncle Roscoe and Auntie Carol ought to understand that.
Auntie Carol's not welcome in this home anymore. That woman's a hua.
Yeah, well, you know. She does have 8 kids, so.
Pass me some of them cheddar biscuits now, boy.
Cheddar biscuits.
Oh, Uncle Roscoe's getting hungry again. I'm down to a size 4 to 6 pants.
He's losing weight.
And with my suspenders, I'm looking damn good right now.
It's good.
All right, now, kids, who wants to do the Ralph Northam shoe polish portion of the evening tonight? It's amazing. But now you know. That's how they think. That's how she and MSNBC think of you. You are nothing more than a basket of deplorable Southern rube who can't spell quid pro quo. I got news for you, Joy. Quid pro quo is probably one of the easiest words to spell. You take a Q, put a wid in it, and then a pro like Roscoe's first wife. I'm just saying the woman was very professional.
Well, I mean...
Well, all the boys down in the red light district know her, is all I'm saying. You put a quid and a pro, and you get a quo. Not that hard.
It's a squid without the S.
That's right. You take an S off a squid, you got a quid.
Sorry.
I've been saying that for years. People come into the shop, they go, I need bait. I go, I ain't got no bait. They go, I want squid. I go, I don't got squid, I got quid. Oh, help me, God, help me, I swear. We are doing nonstop talking. We're not going anywhere.
Of nonstop talk. This is the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And let's leave the insanity of MSNBC and now go to the insanity of Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on the campaign trail together. I saw a story today. AOC and Bernie star in their own buddy movie. Yes, their buddy movie. They're traveling the country right now. They're always on the trail together. They're making all kinds of stops, and the young Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the young socialist, bringing a little bit of hipness to old Uncle Bernie. So there you go. The question, of course, now is with all this hard work that she's doing to help Bernie Sanders, what is she going to get out of it? I mean, everybody in politics is always about what can I get out of it, right? Well, she's too young to be vice president. She's only 29 or 30. So she can't be vice president because of the Constitution, that pesky little Constitution. But she could join his cabinet, perhaps. Take a listen.
Is this yesterday's 13th?
Yes, sir.
To you about the energy in the room. If the congresswoman was 5 years older, would she be your running mate?
Look, I've said this before.
She's almost too old, if you know what I mean. Whatever he's got to start with, look. Right? I'm just saying, she's right at that age, Dawn, where she might be a little too old for him.
Well, definitely.
You know? Look, 30 is my cutoff,
yeah.
I'm sorry, you mean to be my vice president. I'm sorry, I thought I was distracted again. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Look, I've said this before, let me say it again, and I don't want you to hear this, because your head will explode here. I don't know of any person, I've been in Congress for a few years, who in the course of less than 1 year, she's been in office less than 1 year, who has had more of an impact on American...
This is my low, sultry voice. This is my seductive voice. Sexy Bernie. I can't always be yelling on the microphone. What I try to do here is be calm and sophisticated. You'll notice I'm wearing a robe.
No.
And... And now I'm just picturing him in that robe that Will Ferrell wore in Wedding Crashers, right? Just sitting there, you know, with her. This is, listen to my tone. Somebody put on a little Julio Iglesias music, if you would, for me.
Of any person, I've been in Congress for a few years, who in the course of less than 1 year, she's been in office less than 1 year, who has had more of an impact on American politics as a freshman member of Congress than she has. It's not only that she has focused on the real issues.
Inside voice, calm down. People, don't get excited.
Climate change.
Deep breath.
The usury
Deep
rates
breath.
That Wall Street are charging working
there
people
we got
in
it.
This
We got
country.
It back now. There
but
we
she
go.
She has been an inspiration. She has been an
How about a little Barry White?
All across this country. And the young people.
Can I get a little Barry White? Sir, calm down.
That the future of this country depends upon young people becoming increasingly involved in the political process. And there's nobody I know who can do a better job in inspiring those young people than Alexandria.
All right, but in, you know, world.
When I don't yell, I don't mispronounce a name. That's one of the things that Sexy Bernie does not do is mispronounce a name. Okay, the last time at a rally, I started to yell and called to Andrea. But when I do my low Barry White thing here, I never mess it up.
Sexy Bernie?
It's
my favorite character.
Hey, baby.
So
that's right. I mean, it's odd, though, how he's talking like this. I mean, he's the most animated, yelly, like, right?
Because I think they're listening to the Zioli show, right? Fastest growing morning show in America of its kind. And they're going, you know, you're yelling, you're angry. We need you to tone it down. I think that's what it is.
I think you might be right. I'm
serious,
be right.
Actually.
I'm just going to start it just over again. Just
sure.
In the very beginning.
To you about the energy in the room. If the congresswoman was 5 years older, would she be your running mate?
Look, I've said this before. Let me say it again.
See, he starts out like old Bernie, right?
Yes.
He said, look, I said this before and I'm going to say it again. And then, oh, say inside voice. Do you want a chance with this broad or not? Because if you do, go Barry White right now. Okay, I'm going to channel him now. To all the girls I've loved before. No, that's Julio Iglesias. To all the girls I've loved. Right now, here we go. Sexy Bernie, bring it, baby.
Look, I've said this before. Let me say it again. And I don't want you to hear this because your head will explode here. I don't know of any person. I've been in Congress for a few years. Who, in the course of less than 1 year,
this needs background music. This needs a little bit of some sort of Barry White or a little bit of something, don't you think, Dawn? And a little
Barry White is good.
Flirty Bernie.
Sexy Bernie. It's catching on already. It's already exploding over Twitter.
I don't know anyone, and I mean this, who has been in Congress for so long, who has made such an impression on me, all of me, all parts of me. And I want to say I love traveling with her around the country. I hope to save campaign expenses, we'll share a room. Strictly professional. But those $69 a night Motel 6 adds up. It adds up. And Andrea over Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah, we shot. It's a baby. Yeah.
What's this? What I said to her last night, I said, baby, it's cold outside. Why don't you stay with Bernie?
Let's try and do this on the fly.
Here we go, on the fly.
I don't know of any person who, in the course of less than 1 year, she's been in office less than 1 year, who has had more of an impact on American politics as a freshman member of Congress than she has. It's not only that she has focused on the real issues impacting the American people, climate change, the usury rates that Wall Street are charging working people in this country, but she has been an inspiration. She's been an inspiration.
Baby, my darling, can't get enough of your love. Darling,
the future of this country depends upon young
people. I need more young people, not less. And you're getting a little old in the tooth at 30, but we're still going to make it work. Speaking of teeth, can we tone those babies down a little bit?
All right, but in, you know, world.
I get into too much trouble for that. That's what I always tell people.
What about a cabinet position?
How about you get in some trouble tonight? What do you say? Show me this dark side of you.
Go ahead now.
I always tell people.
What about a cabinet position should you be elected?
She will. She is... Again, at the end of 1 year, she is a leader in the United States Congress. And her ideas are resonating all over this country.
Listen, here's the deal. My wife's not going to let this broad anywhere near the White House. Okay? That's the truth. And I won't either because she's dumb as a freaking rock. So let's not answer the question. Let's try to dodge this as much as possible. All right? So let me go back to my... She's a leader, and she's not hard on the eyes, except for the teeth.
Yeah, the teeth are a little much.
Could it maybe have Dr. Venaria shave those puppies down? Just a little saw, a little sandpaper.
I've heard he does excellent work.
Excellent work. This is why we should have a debate watch party next week, but we don't have a location, so we want to do this on, it's the 20th is a debate watch party, and I think that we could find a location, like for example, the guys who own the bowling alley Mount Laurel, the lanes there right on Route 73, which I bowled at a bunch of times, great place. They offered their place, but it's not big enough for this. Well, but we should do like a listener appreciation night, like a Zioli Army bowling night. I think it would be amazing.
That would be great.
Right?
So you're throwing it out there that maybe somebody in the listening area has a place that they would like to host us at.
Wouldn't that be great if we could do that? That would be really cool, I think, if we can just kind of get a place. If you know of a place, that would be great. That where we could, yeah, Laurel Lane's Bowling Entertainment Center would be awesome for another kind of a thing. But for this, we need a big room where everybody like can hold at least 150, 200 people, TV, alcohol. And we're going to watch the debate together and have fun. Now, our friends at the FOP Lodge 5 have been amazing, gracious hosts. But we want to try to find a different area because, the show is massive and it reaches so far that, I get, come to Jersey. Well, we'd be happy to. Give us a place. Give me an idea where we can go.
So this is almost like a Zioli show appreciation, like let us come to your area.
Yeah, let us come to you, and there are people, and I mean, the audience loves to drink and eat, and we have fun, and you don't even have to give us anything, just give us a good deal on, do a drink special or, a food special or something if you want to. What?
By the way, the sales department is probably right now, they're driving off the school expressway, like, what are they doing?
Freaking sell it already!
I know.
Let me talk to the sales department for a second here. We're going to do something special on the debate. I'm going to bring up Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and say, who said I'm old and out of touch when I got this little hottie on my side? My little, I call her my arm candy.
What is it, that term, a trophy wife?
Yeah, trophy
this
wife.
This is my trophy candidate, my trophy socialist.
the end of 1 year, she is a leader in the United States.
This is terrible. It's so bad. He's such a creep, honestly. He really is. He's such a freaking creep. 855-839-1210 is the number. Are you going to watch the impeachment hearings tomorrow? Will you watch the impeachment extravaganza tomorrow? And if you are, why are you going to watch? I'm curious. I have to. I'm wondering why you are going to. 855-839-1210. The networks are banking on it, though. They're banking on the fact that you're going to watch the impeachment tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. I should say the inquiry into the impeachment, possible inquiry.
You're listening to 60 Minutes of Nonstop Talk. The Rich Cioli Show. On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. WPHT-HD, WOGL-HD3, Philadelphia. Live from the Malamud & Associates Law Studio.
I think Sexy Bernie just hurt my throat. I just started coughing. I think it was just, I'm not used to going low for Bernie. I'm used to just yelling and getting it all out. All right, so the 20th, we'd like to do a debate watch party, get everybody together. We just love to bring the Cioli Army together and mock the candidates and have fun. Just an excuse, really, to just enjoy each other's company. People, it's great, too, this audience. I mean, people have made friends together, and it's been amazing to see that. I know, like, for example, Mrs. Rush Baby, Cioli Army, she was telling me that she's a hairstylist and she got 3 new clients at the last debate watch party. Isn't that cool? Wow. I think it's great. Yeah. I mean, she's just because Pammy is a friendly person and everybody wants to help each other. And I think that's great. So it's kind of thing you can just come and also network to as well. But the question, of course, at the debate on Thursday night next week, or is it the Thursday the 20th? Is that right? Do I have
it's
that right?
No, Wednesday. The
Wednesday 20th. The 20th. Yeah. The question, of course, that night is going to be how much of the impeachment hearings that are going to open up this week will be part of the show at the debate next week? And then who will be on the stage? Will Bloomberg be on the stage? Will Deval Patrick be on the stage? These names that are talking about running for president, will they be on the stage? I told you earlier, my theory is if you're corrupt, just run for president, file the run, try to get on the stage. They can't touch you because if you are running for president, you cannot be investigated, apparently, because we don't prosecute our political enemies. Of course, if you are a Democrat. Otherwise, that goes out the window. Let me share with you a couple of other things real quick, by the way. I want to mention to you, there's only one Democrat candidate talking about automation. That's Andrew Yang. He's not going to be president. He's no chance of winning the nomination. But as all these Democrats keep talking about raising taxes on everybody, there's consequences. And the $15 minimum wage is one of those consequences that cost jobs. Robots take over those jobs. And New York Post had a story, American robots lose jobs to Asian robots as Adidas shifts their marketing and their manufacturing. Excuse me. Adidas is going to close their high-tech robot factories in Germany and the United States that it launched to bring production closer to customers. And now they're going to move the technology to Asia, where it's going to be more economic and more flexible. You know, Jamie Dimon was actually asked about the trade war with China, and he said he gives President Trump great credit for going after China because China has now said, they're actually calling us out on this stuff now, right? Of course, the intellectual property theft and undercutting their currency and undercutting and not paying their workers anything. So they wind up basically having an economy there that's completely able to rip us off. And the fact that the president's calling out China now in this trade war, Jamie Dimon said it's great. It's really good for the world that this is happening right now. But robots at Adidas's speed factory started in Bavaria in Germany in 2016 and then also in the United States. But now they said enough, they're going to take it to Asia. So even though automation is coming and jobs in America are going to be replaced by robots, those robot jobs are not safe either. Robots can be, their jobs can be outsourced to Asian robots. I mean, think about that for a second. We've seen actual jobs in the United States of America outsourced to China. It's one of the big complaints. And a lot of people who call the show are union people. They work for a living. They actually work, you know, and they've said they watched manufacturing jobs leave the United States of America and go to places like China. Well, we're at a place now where manufacturing robot jobs are also leaving America and going to China. You see, that's the point. The more you try to make things like $15 minimum wage, the more you go after billionaires, the more you try to villainize and demonize rich people, anybody with over $50 million, instead of them investing in the United States of America, companies are going to leave. I mean, they're going to leave. That's the point. The president's trying to level the playing field to get them to stay and to stay in the United States of America. But if you start vilifying and demonizing them like they're doing, they're going to pack it up and go. And not only will they say, oh, $15 minimum wage, well, now we're going to use robots. They're going to turn around and say, oh, but in Asia, we can even, it'll even be cheaper because we don't have to worry about regulations, for example. So we'll go over there and make our crappy shoes. I'm just pointing that out to you. In San Francisco, they have a new district attorney. He has said public urination will not be prosecuted. He's a radical. He's a Krasner type guy. We will not prosecute, he says, quality of life crimes such as public camping, offering or soliciting sex, public urination, blocking a sidewalk, etc. These crimes will not and should not be prosecuted, he said. Now, I want to point something out, and that is this. The reason why those crimes are not prosecuted is because there really is there's no money tied to them. And a lot of the times the people can't pay the money anyway. And it looks very woke of lefties like that to be able to turn around and say, well, we're not going to prosecute for, you know, like peeing on the sidewalk or something. In California, in San Francisco, they have a transit system out there called BART. All right. It's the Bay Area Rapid Transit. So a guy was arrested for eating on the platform. Eating and drinking are not allowed within the BART system. So a BART officer, a transit officer, came up to the guy and said, you're not supposed to eat a sandwich here. Give me your IDs. I'm giving you a fine. The guy wouldn't give him his ID. The guy wound up getting arrested. The video of this arrest went viral, and I tweeted it out. And what's amazing about that, of course, is that the reaction from most people was California has some crazy, crazy laws, right? That you can't, say, eat or drink on a subway platform or a transit platform. So the cop goes over to enforce that. Now, he's in trouble for enforcing that law. So the top official of the Bay Area Rapid Transit System has apologized for the police officer because the police officer arrested the guy. They said enforcement of infractions such as eating and drinking inside our paid area should not be used to prevent us from delivering on our mission to provide safe, reliable, and clean transportation. I apologize to Mr. Foster, our riders, employees, and the public who have had an emotional reaction to the video. Now, look, I think it's stupid for anybody to get busted for eating a sandwich or drinking on a transit platform. That's stupid. When you're allowing people to pee and poop in public now, the idea that a guy is eating a sandwich, which I do all the time when I'm riding a train, and gets busted for that is ridiculous. But here's the point. Why is that law even a law in California? Why is that a law? And why are they choosing to enforce that one but not the guy who decides to relieve himself on the subway platform tracks? See what I mean? This is the craziness of the day and age in which we live, because we're so used to certain laws not being enforced that the fact that a cop chooses to enforce this law, everybody goes, what the hell's wrong with this guy? I don't know. Maybe the guy actually believes that when people eat on the platform tracks, they're breaking the law and he's got to enforce it. And it's not up to him to say which laws are enforced or not. He's just supposed to enforce the law. I don't know. But you can't do that anymore, because if you do that, you wind up getting in trouble. So now the cop gets in trouble for enforcing the law, because the mindset is, well, we're not, yes, you can't technically do these things, but we're not going to enforce them. We're not going to arrest anybody, prosecute anybody for doing these certain things. So when it does happen, people turn around and go, did they really just arrest a guy for eating a sandwich? Well, they did, because he wouldn't cooperate with the cops. And you're wondering why the cop went over and asked him why he's eating a sandwich? Because probably it's a stupid law that should go. But will they try to change the law? No. Instead, what they'll do is turn around from now on and say, we just won't enforce it. And this is the little game they play in a lot of these blue states like this. What they do is they don't change the law. They're not going to change the law to say it is now legal to publicly urinate, right? They won't change that law. Not that I think they should, by the way. It's not the same thing as eating a sandwich. They should not change that law. But what they will do is say, we're just not going to prosecute you for it. This is the same thing with pooping in public. You're not allowed to do it, but they're not going to change the law to say you are allowed to do it in California. They're just not going to enforce the law against you doing it. So even though I think eating a sandwich on a platform is not like those things and should not be a crime, they won't change the law, because with the left, it's never about the law, right? It's about the mean people that enforce the law. It's never about the law. It's never the law that's on the books that was probably passed because they figured out they weren't getting enough taxes or something because people were bringing their own sandwiches, or maybe the sandwiches weren't vegan. But instead of them changing the law, they never do that. No, they just turn around and go, just don't enforce it. And if you enforce it, you're going to be in trouble. And that sounds a lot like immigration, right? It's sounding a lot like immigration. Like, they don't want to actually change any of the laws or do anything because the DREAMers law is going before the United States Supreme Court today. DREAMers, the Deferred Deportation Act, I think is completely unconstitutional because the president just did it. Obama just did it. And now President Trump's trying to undo it. And they're saying he doesn't have the power to undo what Obama did, which is crazy to me. But you see how nutty it is when you live in a country where you go, all right, instead of the legislature changing the law to allow these things to occur, we'll just elect prosecutors who say, we just won't enforce it. Isn't that kind of dangerous? Isn't that a little dangerous to let prosecutors have that much power to pick and choose which laws they're going to enforce and not enforce? And then to tell police, it kind of sends a fuzzy message to cops too, right? Do I enforce the no eating law or do I not? Right? Do I do that law or like in New York City yesterday, a bunch of NYPD cops arrested a woman for selling churros in the subway system. Why? Because she doesn't have a license, so they're not getting their VIG. You got to wet your beak, right? So how dare an adult sell food to another adult without going through the proper protocols of the licensing and the license and the paying and the taxes and the taxes and the... So she got arrested for selling the churros because she wouldn't get out with her little cart, you know what I mean? But this is what I mean. This is what I'm talking about. It's either they bust your chops because they're finding out that you're doing an action that they can't tax or make money off of, or they turn around and go, well, you know what? There's no P tax, so let them do it in the name of wokeness. Should we change the law to let them do it? No. We don't change laws. We just go, yeah, just don't enforce that. This is why I would never want to be a cop in today's day and age. I wouldn't want to be a cop. As you walk out, you go, do I enforce this or not? What do I do today? Is this a day where I'm going to enforce the law and it's going to go viral and everybody's going to call me the bad guy because I just did my freaking job or not? Because they're not going to get mad at the people that run the transit system for the stupid sandwich law. They're not going to get mad at the San Francisco Board of Commissioners for the stupid anti-sandwich law. They're going to get mad at the cop who enforced it because that's how the left thinks. It's never the fault of the lawmakers. It's always the fault of the jackbooted thugs who enforce it. You don't like the law? Change the freaking law. Change it. But now we're giving prosecutors the ability to decide what they'll enforce and what they won't enforce. That is dangerous. That is very, very dangerous. I'm telling you right now. That is way too much power to give these prosecutors. Way too much. And again, I am somebody who does not think you should ever be arrested for eating a sandwich at a subway platform or anywhere else, for God's sake. Change the stupid law. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Dawn, how are we looking today? The calm before the beaver moon.
Yes. Unfortunately, we can't see the beaver moon or the meteor shower happening.
Uncle Roscoe and I was going to go up on the roof. I made here a tin can telescope. We're going to look at the beaver. He told me there was beaver to see on the roof.
That's right. Well, the rest of the country, it's gone viral. People were making fun of me last night, but it's gone viral. You know, rest of the country saw this beautiful beaver moon, the meteor shower. It was pretty amazing, but we don't get to see it. The storm is, I'm very disappointed. The storm is the big story, and the timing of it is really what matters. Right now, we're at 52 degrees. Keep in mind, we're going to drop like a rock. By lunchtime. We'll talk about the forecast in a moment. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Zeola Show News brought to you by BQ Basements. So a United Airlines pilot arrested for being naked in his hotel room in Denver, overlooking Denver International Airport. He got a $300,000 wrongful arrest settlement from the city of Denver. This is Andrew Collins of Virginia. He was actually arrested inside his Westin hotel room after somebody called police and reported seeing the pilot through his 10th floor hotel window. So Collins' attorney says, hey, it's not against the law to be naked inside your own hotel room, even if it's in Denver. So the pilot got, Zioli went to Denver. I mean, we've talked about Denver, but
yeah.
Arrested in his hotel room for being naked.
For being naked in his own hotel room?
In a 10th floor. 10th floor that somebody was snooping. They were a snooper.
So you can't be naked in a hotel room now.
I'd be careful if you're in Denver.
I don't understand. But if I'm naked on the street and I decide to pop a squat, that's okay, right?
That's
in
okay.
Denver, because that would be mean to the homeless people.
Right.
I guarantee you they won't bust a crazy homeless guy on the street in Denver for doing that. But if you're in your own hotel room, that's a crime?
Yeah, on the 10th floor. Yeah. Well, it's not a crime. That's why he got $250,000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So this guy won, but it took like a year.
Good for him for winning.
So presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard, she sent this official communication to Hillary Clinton through her attorneys, obviously, demanding Clinton retract her comment on Gabbard and Russia. So Gabbard says Clinton's comment was defamatory, false, and actionable by saying, Clinton, as you know by now, she said the Gabbard is a Russian asset. That was the quote. So Gabbard also demanding Clinton hold a press conference to personally, verbally retract her remarks. After a New Jersey woman sued a country club for $30,000 when a waiter spilled red wine on the lady's ultra-expensive Hermes purse, the country club responded by now suing the waiter. So this is an incredible story. This started with a lady who had this Hermes discontinued bag, and these designer bags sell for tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars. So she says the waiter was clumsy, should have been better trained, ruined her bag. So the country club has fought her lawsuit, but is now suing the waiter. So it's
did the waiter do it on purpose? Like they get back at the customer? Just slipped with
just
a drink?
Accidentally slipped, which the original lady just says, look, it was an accident, but she blames the country club and says they should have better trained or I don't know.
Well, lawyers always win, Dawn. That's my rule in life. Yeah. Lawyers always win.
Disney obviously debuting this morning with its new Frontier in Entertainment live streaming for $7 a month.
By the way, young Bill, millennial Bill, is very excited for this. He's going to watch. What show are you planning to watch today?
The Mandalorian. It's a part of the Star Wars.
Yes.
It's going to be great.
You heard of that, Dawn? The Mandalorian?
That's my boys are right with Bill right
and
there.
I'm excited for it because it's going back to the classic week by week. It's not all at once. It's a week by week episode drop.
That's interesting that they're doing that because I think part of the problem is that when you stream, you can stream all these shows at once. I don't know, it kind of loses something. I like the suspense of, ooh, what's going to be? You know, tune in next week.
Totally. Yeah.
Same bat channel, same bat time. You know, I kind of like that. I miss that a little bit.
That's what made Game of Thrones so great.
This is true.
Plus, the other problem, too, is when I wind up binging, I wind up drinking, and then by like the third episode, I'm not kidding, I don't even know what the hell's going on anymore.
That's the problem, and just the fact that like I'll finish a show within, say, a 3 days, a week, and then I'm like, well, now I got to wait a year and a half, a year to year and a half for the next season.
And you forget everything. Yeah.
And you forget everything, and then the new season comes on, you go, I don't even know who these people are.
Right. I'm doing that right now in one of the shows I'm
re-binge
watching.
Re-binge it.
I'm like, I don't have that kind of time
Give
anymore.
Up another 87 hours of your life to re-binge it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. So I'm very excited for Mandalorian. All it's going to be great.
Well, that's why my boys are hoping they get this early dismissal from school because of the alleged snow.
By the way,
they can watch the
this
Disney
is,
stream.
This weather today is a vast Disney conspiracy to get everybody to go home and stream the new Disney.
They're controlling the clouds. Hey,
Disney is powerful enough to control the weather. I'm convinced of
really?
It. Yes. Without question. Yep.
Well, speaking of Disney, which owns ABC, after surviving 8 weeks on Dancing with the Stars, Spicy Sean Spicer was voted off the show by the judges.
Spicy.
So President Trump tweeting out a great try by @SeanSpicer. We're all very proud of you. So, and people were saying the guy can't dance. How did he survive? It's a credit to Trump.
It really was because it was all these Trump supporters who kept voting for Spicy.
Yes.
That's basically how he made it this far.
And they were getting Bergeron was like his head was going to pop off.
So does he not get any money now for all that work that he did at dancing or does he get it?
Oh, I don't know. I'll look that up.
Okay.
I will look that up. A University of Pennsylvania researcher is involved in a Twitter study that says the words people use when posting on their Twitter accounts serve as a kind of loneliness prediction system, and loneliness is also associated with early death. So now we're supposed to watch for loneliness words.
Like
on Twitter.
How much for an hour?
Oh, no.
Sorry. Those are loneliness words.
Wild turkeys are running the streets of Tom's River, and they're very upset because in New Jersey.
They're in my town, too, in South Jersey. I'm telling you, they're everywhere, these things.
Animal control shows up. We're like, we're sorry. They're protected, so can't do nothing.
You can't kill a wild turkey?
No.
Oh, man.
So you could just drink wild turkey.
You could do that.
Because you're frustrated.
They're nasty birds, by
the
way.
They are very nasty.
They do nothing to help themselves when it comes to Thanksgiving. You know, like if they were all sweet and cuddly, they would not be Thanksgiving dinner anymore.
Sure.
They are nasty, filthy birds. And they come at you. We walk with the kids and they're like run out of a tree and chase your kids. You think I'm kidding?
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. They're all over my town in South Jersey.
Zioli's going to, we're going to hear like, we're going to have to bail him out because he killed a wild turkey.
You come after my kids, I'm going to beat you to death and serve you for Thanksgiving.
Self-defense.
I don't understand. They're protected, but yet you'll go to ShopRite and get a free one if you spend a certain amount of money before Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah.
How does that work exactly?
Because the ones in the, they were not wild turkeys.
Oh, right. They were farm-raised, domesticated turkeys, right?
So heavy rain this morning. Temperatures dropping drastically by lunchtime. The timing of the storm is the big deal here. So we'll see the flurries. By 2 o'clock, though, the rain and snow move out of Philadelphia. So the question is, and then they'll move into South Jersey at that point, but by then the wind chills will be about 27 degrees. So the concern this afternoon after 2 o'clock in Philadelphia is this flash freezing on the roads. So it's slippery roads. Tonight, record cold. Tomorrow, sunny, 36, but a brisk wind is going to make it feel like it's in the teens and 20s all day long tomorrow. So all the network newscasts were leading with climate change and record Arctic blasts across America, by the way. Let's talk about the Zioli Show News brought to you by BQ Basement, uneven concrete around your pools, patio, sidewalks, or floors. Well, BQ Basement Systems poly-level foam is a fraction of the cost of replacement. Call BQ Basement Systems for a free estimate. I'm Dawn, Zioli Show News, always on the radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. Let's do our movie clip of the day today because we always like to do that on the show. This is a cool gift you're going to get as well. We're doing an hour of nonstop talk, not going anywhere. Let's do it.
The Morning Mystery Clips on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You know, it's dangerous for you to be here in the frozen food section.
Why is that?
Because you could melt all this stuff.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
It is a $50 gift card to Outback Steakhouse. That's right. Good luck. Outback is the home of the Bloomin' Onion. I'm a big fan. Nonstop talk is means we get to be together for an entire hour. You don't have to go anywhere, and we give you all the news and all the fun you can expect on your commute. It's brought to us by great sponsors like Newsmax. Alan Dershowitz was on yesterday on a radio show or the day before, and he was saying that the impeachment against the president is very Stalin-esque. He was on the John Katsimides panel. Let's play this real quick. He was on the AM 970 in New York, Cut 5.
There's strange things happening in Washington.
Oh, yeah.
do the Democrats, and I was a Bill Clinton Democrat like you were, do the Democrats today think that the American public is so stupid on some of the things they're doing? Tell us about the developments on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in Washington on the impeachment.
They're very scary. They're very frightening to any civil libertarian, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, whether you come from New York or the middle of the country. You should be frightened by efforts to try to create crimes out of nothing. The latest twist was people on television, particularly CNN and MSNBC, are saying that if the president or somebody else were to name the whistleblower in the Ukrainian situation, that person would be guilty of a crime. Well, I spent the afternoon yesterday searching the federal criminal statutes from beginning to end. I couldn't find the crime. It reminds me of what Lavrenty Beria, the head of the KGB, said to Stalin. He said, "Show me the man and I'll find you the crime," which he really meant, "I'll make up the crime." And so the Democrats are now making up crimes.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Okay, so I'll tell you one thing, and this is a very, very important note to understand with regards to what's happening with the impeachment stuff. Meet the Press daily, for those of you that just can't wait till Sunday. Or maybe this was Sunday. I forget which edition. It's on 7 freaking days a week now.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. A Meet the Press panel hoping Democrats can dramatize the impeachment hearings. They're hoping for this now. hoping they can do this and maybe even have some crying witnesses.
The one thing that will break through, I think, is if this can be dramatized so that our diplomats struggling against the president feel like soldiers in a battlefield and their commander abandoned them. And if that gets through, or if there's something corrupt that Rudy Giuliani was doing that we discover, I think that changes the stakes. It makes it a very different process. But based on what we heard just now, you know, it's political bickering, and that's the way the people will hear it.
I will say that Democrats are very, they're very focused on how to tell this story this week. And I'm told from Democratic aides that they wanted Taylor to be there because he's a Vietnam vet. He's going to be able to tell this story in a simple way. And they wanted Marie Yovanovitch there because I'm told she cried in her testimony. And they essentially want someone who's going to be emotional to say, I was a victim of the president trying to do this for his own political gain.
Again, if there's a simple way to dramatize this, where these people sound like soldiers fighting our fight for us and they got undercut, you know what they then did? It'll be different.
I mean, if you can only just find a way to cry and scream in anguish and gnash teeth, that would be very, very helpful. Can you maybe give everybody something to make their eyes irritated? Perhaps expose them to pollen or something?
Onion.
That's what you give an onion. There you go. I like it. Just chop an onion, go out there and cry on TV. That's the kind of drama we need. Thank you to Meet the Press for coaching Democrats and how to have the most effective impeachment. That's very nice of them, by the way. Let's see here now. Molly Hemingway, who's fantastic, she had a lefty panelist on, Philippe Raines, former Clinton official. On Sunday's Media Buzz, he was talking about the not naming the whistleblower here, and she did a great job. Molly Hemingway writes for The Federalist. You see her on Fox News a lot. Cut three.
I think people should be concerned about protecting people who are in the public news. But the most important thing is that the media should be in the business of sharing information that is in the public interest. And there's no question that this is in the public interest. And we're not seeing this kind of concern that the media has for this whistleblower that they have had for other people. You had CNN doxing a grandmother because they didn't like what she put on Facebook, you know, showing her in her front lawn. You had NBC recently outing an American spy who was Russian. You have had the New York Times out a CIA station chief in Iran. You don't see concern when it doesn't match their political motivation. And of course, Adam Schiff first demanded that the whistleblower testify until that precise moment that it was revealed that they had coordinated prior to him filing the complaint.
That the whistleblower had spoken to Schiff's staff.
So it seems like the media are just following what Adam Schiff wants, and that's not a good look.
Well, but I want to take a step back. When we say, why hasn't the press done it? I could say, why hasn't Fox done it? I could say, why hasn't the Federalist done it?
Actually, this is one of the things I don't quite get about the conversation we're having. There has been reporting on this whistleblower.
The president is saying that the media is not doing its job.
And that is
how are you guys exempt from that?
The New York Times did all but reveal his name in September.
Yes,
they gave all the details.
So did Sean.
But the New York Times was the first to basically half out the whistleblower by saying he's a CIA officer who had been assigned to the White House.
And Real Clear Investigations has identified a man named Eric Cherumella as the whistleblower. So it's already out there. We could be talking about this reporting and talking about whether that's accurate reporting or not. So I feel a little bit confused about why we're pretending that it hasn't already been
reported. I just want to clarify that I don't know that
that
is the person.
That might be the first time that the name has been mentioned on Fox News.
Now, this whole idea of the whistleblower's identity. By the way, the whole notion of all these people working behind the president's back and trying to bring him down in the deep state, whatever you want to call it, the national security apparatus, whatever you want to call it, right? The notion of this happening is so troubling to our republic. As I said to you yesterday, we would become nothing more than the president would become nothing more than just a figurehead if this is allowed to be the way it is. You heard Nikki Haley. I played you yesterday on the show. She said that General Kelly, the chief of staff, and also Rex Tillerson, the secretary of state back then, they were trying to undermine the president. And a lot of people ask me, but why didn't Nikki Haley let the president know? She was asked the question of if she told the president about what they were trying to do and when they went to her and asked her to join them in trying to undermine him.
What has gotten a lot of people's attention is the conversation about an hour, Rex Tillerson, General Kelly. And I guess tell that story and out of it. I was wondering, why did you not feel, or did you at any point feel a need to tell the president, hey,
This is what these guys are doing.
Well, I did tell the president. I mean, keep in mind, Sean, this is one page out of 250 pages of the book. But I did tell the president, and I did tell the National Security Advisor, H.R. McMaster, and there were others that knew of my concerns in the process. And let's keep in mind, I mean, what I have said is this wasn't that these guys thought this was a rogue president. This was that these guys disagreed with his policy. They disagreed with us getting out of the Paris Climate Agreement. They disagreed with us getting out of the Iran deal. They disagreed with moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So when the president was charting a different course and really giving us a strong hand for America and for our friends, they just thought that he was going in the wrong direction. And so when they sat me down that day, they were attempting to tell me that if I would work with them, they were trying to save America and keep people from dying. But we saw when the embassy moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the sky is still up there. It didn't fall, and we didn't see casualties. What we saw was a courageous moment by the president that many presidents had tried before that was very successful, and it acknowledged a fact, which Jerusalem is the capital of Israel.
You see, that caller last week who tried to suggest that these people behind the president, all these national security types, they just don't want to follow illegal orders. And I blew up at him. And my buddy Johnny on Twitter asked me why. I said, because it's out a lie that they're trying to go against the president because he's trying to order them to do illegal things. No, they disagree with his policies. And they believe that as the military, they're allowed to have the final say, that the State Department, the Defense Department, they're allowed to have they get the final say on the president of the United States. It's not about him giving illegal orders that they don't want to follow. It's about him trying to do policies that they disagree with. And so they believe they can use their power in the National Security Council and the State Department to stop him. That is not how this country is supposed to work, and may God help us if it ever does work that way. Because at that point, we no longer have a republic. We have a military dictatorship.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.